chapter one. I wanted to start on a series I want to do this year at some point. Throughout the year, we'll come back to it time and time again. I had chosen this year to study a certain topic, and the topic is on listening to God. And so I call this series Lessons on Listening. I know that the acronym is LOL. That's okay. So I was thinking that when you see LOL now, you might think about lessons on listening. But so the first lesson today comes from Adam. I thought we'd start with him. And not just one lesson every time I look at it, but maybe more than one. But, you know, and it's important for us to understand how to listen to God, to hear from him. So I thought, well, let's look at it in the Word of God this year. So Genesis chapter 1, where we first read about the making of man, and verse 26 is where we'll start. It says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Now when he told them this particular thing in verse 28, it was obviously after he had made Eve as well. So this is telling us something that happened afterwards. And we'll go to Genesis 2 to continue and get some more information about this. 2:5 says, "And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground." Now it gives us more information here about making man, so that's why Genesis 1:28 obviously was talking about something he told them after he had made both Adam and Eve. "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." And then we jump down to verse 16. Well, 15. Let's read 15. "The Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God..." Well, verse 17, the information that God gave to Adam and how he gave it doesn't really say. It just says he told him, "Tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now, was that information that God gave to Adam, was it good information? Was it reliable information? Was it important information? Is it information that Adam should have listened to? Yeah, it is. Let's keep reading. Verse 18, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name there." So there were very close fellowship there. "And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field." I don't think there were names like Fluffy and, you know, that kind of thing. Shep? No, probably not. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. So, and then later on, he, as we know, the rest of the chapter talks about the making of Eve. So after that, he would have told them to go and replenish the earth and so forth. But then we jump down to chapter 3, where the music turns. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said. Now, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now, we just read that, you know, information that God had given to Adam. Good information, very reliable, very important information, critical information for man to know. And God, and here the devil says, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. Now, when the devil talks to Eve here and says, You shall not, you know, we know the record and some of the details of what's happening there between Eve and the serpent. Is the information that God gave to Adam still good at this point? It's still good, right? So God had given him information, and we know that here the devil takes Eve from you shall surely die to you shall not surely die, and we don't know how long of time it might have taken and all that. But the point is, the information that God had given to Adam was still good. And that's really the critical lesson that we'll look at today, is that information that we receive from God, it's good, it's reliable, and it's very, very important. And we should never ignore the information that God gives to us. That's kind of the key lesson here. It is the key lesson that I want to look at today. Verse 5, For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw, and here's some more understanding about, you know, a lesson of not ignoring the information that God gives you. Here it says, when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired, you know, you see the words there, saw and pleasant and desired. You know, all these are in the realm of, you know, pleasurable things, five senses things, where, you know, we may recognize that when we have good information from God, and we do have very good information from Him, sometimes the things that get in the way of us accepting and sticking that information are our feelings, emotions, you know, the things we want or desires and all these things. And you may immediately jump to the parable of the sower and the seed, where we know that it was the pleasures of life and pressures, among other things, that choke the word and make it unfruitful in our lives. So good learning, good understanding from here, that, you know, what caused this to happen. Keep reading. And she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And it's not a question of, I can't see you, or I know you're hiding behind a tree, so I don't know where you are. It's really a question of, Where are you, Adam? What is going on? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Interesting that the knowledge of being naked and being ashamed came from the understanding evil, not good, because before Adam didn't know any of that or was ashamed of any of it. And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to me be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. You know, despite Adam's statement there, you know, if you just hold your finger here, or you can just stay there. I'm going to read you 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'll read it to you. 1 Timothy 2:14 says, wrong verse. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So here, despite the fact that, you know, Adam says, the woman you gave me, Adam was not deceived. What he did, he did willingly. So he knew what was going on. He did it willingly. So he was not deceived, even though in verse 12, he says, she gave to me and I did eat. Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above all every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And we see that enmity throughout the Bible. And we see those who are on one side and those on the other side, and where the promised seed comes down to a single person one time, some to a nation, sometime to a few, that enmity continues. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And then, now we start reading a few verses about what happened because Adam refused to take heed to some very simple but very good, critical, and important information that God had given to him. Verse 16, Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. That wasn't an issue before. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Remember that important information that I gave you, Adam? Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. These are the results of him not taking heed to good, important, and critical information that he had been given. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. So there's some very, very terrible results from not listening to good information that God had given to him. So, lesson, don't ignore the information that God gives us. We should not ignore it, because the results of ignoring that information are not going to be good. Let's go to Romans chapter 5, please. Just look at a few more results of the thing that Adam had done. And really, the information wasn't, was that information that God had given him very difficult? Pretty simple. He didn't say, I want you to pray for 4 hours a day, you know, do this and work for this and do well. He just said, listen, there's a tree over there that I put over, just don't do this thing. That's it. It wasn't complicated. But the results of not taking heed to it are pretty serious, as we've seen, and we'll see here in verse chapter 5 of Romans. You know the section. I'll just read a few verses. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, all have sinned. This is a result of Adam not taking heed, you know, to some very simple information. All have sinned. In verse 14. Death reigned from Adam to Moses. And then we read in verse 15, For if through the offense of one many be dead, many died spiritually. 16, For and none of us by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation. So judgment passed upon all men. And in verse 19, One man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So, Adam, don't do this thing. He did it. The impact extended to all of mankind. All of it. Death reigned. Many died. All condemned. Judgment passed upon all men, and many were made sinners. That's a pretty cataclysmic result from not taking heed to just a little information. You know, so... So it's not a good idea to ignore information from God. So I thought we'd just look at a few other verses on, let's consider some information that God has given to us and try to apply this lesson that we've learned, okay? In Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. So lessons on listening. Don't ignore what God tells you. It's not a good idea. Exodus 20. Verse 1. And this is God giving some commandments to Moses. Verse 1. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's pretty good information. Isn't it? Is this still true? Yes. Absolutely. So, you know, if we're going to apply a lesson on listening to God, then we oughtn't to ignore that. That's not information we should ignore. So, if we put anything before God and hold it up as an idol before Him, that's a bad thing to do. So, would you say that putting Jesus before God is a bad thing to do? Yes. I would say so. Is it putting something else before God? Yeah, it is. And here God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So if I'm going to make somebody who is a man into a god and put him before God, I may want to remember what happened when Adam didn't take heed to information that he had been given. I understand God's mercy, grace, and blessing, especially over those who have not been taught better or don't know better, but just have accepted information that they've been erroneously given. I understand that. But it's important to remember that when information comes from God, it's good. Take heed to it. Do not ignore it. It would be not the right thing to do. Psalms 103. Psalm 103. And again, you can apply this to 5 or 6 promises in the Bible. How about all the times God gives us information. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. In verse 3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Now, there's some information. Here in the Old Testament, God has told us that he's a God who heals all of our diseases. Now, is that good information? Is it critical information? Is it reliable information? Yes. Yeah, absolutely. It's just as reliable as God saying, you know, you shouldn't eat of that tree, Adam. That's a bad thing to do. Don't put any gods, you know, any other gods before me, to Moses. I heal all your diseases. And this is something that was told in the Old Testament. Now, we've seen this thing, this particular promise multiplied 1,000-fold by the work of Jesus Christ, all that he has done for us. So should we ever accept information to the contrary of what that verse says? No, it'd be a bad thing to do. We shouldn't accept anything that says, no, healing's not for everybody, it's not available, you know, all that nonsense. You just put all that stuff aside. Because that's what the adversary tried to do with Eve. He goes, well, did God really say that? Or was it Adam? Did he make it up? Or, you know, whatever. Whatever he was trying to do to convince her that it didn't come from there. And then to eventually get her to accept the total opposite of what it said. So, that first little nudge that takes us beyond the point of starting to rather doubt what God has said, it's not a good thing. Just, it's not recognized. Hang on a second. I know the information I have from God. I know it's reliable. I know it's good. I know it's critical. I don't want to forget that. That would be a bad thing to do. I don't want to ignore it. Certainly not ignore it. Romans chapter 10. You've never heard this verse before. Romans 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, that's an interesting verse, isn't it? We know this verse. You know, and we just read when Adam chose to ignore some information that God had given to him. We saw some pretty cataclysmic, we didn't even look at all, there's a lot more in the Bible about it, as you know. There were a lot of cataclysmic results. Yes? Well, how about if people don't accept this information from God? Are there some bad, long-lasting results that happen? He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. And those kind of other things that are related to this particular promise. So when I think about this, and I was thinking, you know, I'm sitting in my study room thinking about, well, here's some good information that I should never ignore, and I know we've accepted it. But then I thought about my relatives. You know, I think about, you know, here, you know, I've had opportunities to be with my relatives and friends and, you know, and family and people that we love, you know, that we know. When I see them, do I think about the long-lasting impacts on their lives if I do not present this very critical and important information to them? Because ignoring the information, the good, reliable, and critical information that comes from God leads to not so good things. So do I love them enough to present information that has, you know, delivered me so they too can take advantage of it and not, you know, have ignored very good, critical, important information? How much do I love my family? Do I love my relatives? Do I love my associates, friends, and whoever else? The man in the street doesn't have to be a friend or relative. How critical is this information I've been given? You know, lessons on listening to God. Well, God's given us information. It's good. It's important. It's critical. You know, I should not ignore it. I should not ignore the results of not taking heed to it, not just in my own life, but in the lives of others also. Again, these are just some examples. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Didn't think Adam could teach us so much, huh? But just by seeing what he did, teaches us not to do the same thing. That's a good lesson. 1 Corinthians 14, 4. He that speaketh in a tongue edifieth himself. He that prophesied edified the church. Okay, here's some information. You know, and Grace, you were talking about speaking in tongues before the fellowship. You know, he that speaks in a tongue edifieth himself. Well, that's what the Word of God has told us, that when you speak in tongues, you edify yourself. Okay, that's good information. It's reliable. It's critical. And so forth. So the converse, if I don't speak in a tongue, what happens? Well, I certainly don't get this edification that it's talking about here in Corinthians. Yeah, and we saw some, you know, maybe the results aren't as cataclysmic as Romans 10:9 or Genesis 3, but they're still not the best. They're not still not the things that God would have intended for me. So if I want to see the benefits of this information in my life, I need to speak in tongues much. If I want to get edified, this is good information, isn't it? And it's very easy for me to ignore this, as it is for much of Christianity. Well, what are the results in their lives? Well, they're certainly not getting the edification that 1 Corinthians 14 talks about, right? Because it's tied directly to that promise, right? So, and we'll close in Corinthians. Like I said, we could do this all day, but we won't. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm so thankful that as we were saying before, Grace, that we've received such wonderful information, you know, that such good, reliable, you know, the truth. We've been given this, and for us to ignore it, you know, it's not best. So it's good for us to remind, you know, again, good lesson on listening to God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, again, you know the whole chapter, but here we are. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we are incorruptible. So is this good information? Sure it is. It's like all of God's information in the scriptures. It's good. It's reliable. So if I want to see the blessings of it in eternity, to all that God has promised, I ought to run, shouldn't I? We ought to all run so that we may receive the prize. So that we may, you know, build on what is coming in the future by building here on the foundation of Jesus Christ with good works, good things that God has asked us to do. If I want to see the blessings in all of eternity, right? I mean, if you don't run, you don't obtain. You don't. You know, just like if you don't speak in tongues, you don't get edified. If you don't make Jesus your Lord, well, you don't have eternal life. you know, and so forth. All these wonderful, wonderful, simple, you know, life-changing truths that God has made available to us from the scriptures. And all we got to do is just take heed to them. Let's not ignore them. Let's just do what the Word of God says for us to do. Deliverance in Christ. You know, put God first. Don't put anybody else before him. Again, we just looked at a very, very few handful of simple truths. But to recognize that when that information comes to us each day, as we're reading the scriptures, as someone is speaking to us, or as God is giving information, you know, the source being God, then the information is good. It's reliable. And it's critical for our lives and very important to our lives. And we ought not to ignore it. So lessons on listening. Well, Adam has given us a very, I think, important lesson. And we can apply it to our lives in a very beneficial way. So, that's it. That's it. That's all I've got today. And maybe we'll look at some more lessons on listening as we look at other men and women throughout God's Word in the coming months. Okay. Well,